It's really funny. I'm glad everybody's here, but I don't even know how many people are on the call. But I want to be able to, first of all, provide some information and absolutely provide a dialogue. And sometimes I don't enunciate as well as I'd like to, so if you didn't quite get anything from me, just say, Ray, I didn't quite get that, and I'll try to speak more clearly. So currently right now I am a vice principal of a high school. So I've been doing that now for the past 3 years. And I've also started after-school programs for the school sites that I've been working with. That includes High Tech High, which I started 3 years ago, and currently here at High Tech High Chula Vista, where we actually receive some assets funding from the San Diego County Office of Education. So I'm actually running the program. The information that I'm going to share with you on the PowerPoint, actually I created 2.5 years ago, but as I'm running programs now, I still think it's still very contemporary. It's not meant to be gospel, so please feel free to push back at any time. Let me know your thoughts on this. But for the most part, these are the things that I see on the field. Currently, I am consulting for a Los Angeles Unified School District. I work with 26 different high schools over there, as well as San Diego Unified. I work with 4 schools over here. And I've been around with high schools and middle schools programs for roughly 17 years now. So I say that because I actually started, I cut my teeth in youth development, working in after-school programs, and actually kind of fell into the core day, so to speak. So if you happen to have the PowerPoint in front of you, you can follow along. If not, hopefully some of the stuff and the slides that I'll be presenting will be clear enough for you guys to understand and follow. So, first of all, I'm going to go ahead. That's my phone ringing, as I might also have to apologize. I am also working right now, and I might be called away at any moment, but I'll make sure to give you guys a heads up. Okay, so if you look at the PowerPoint, I actually titled the PowerPoint Fast Time in Rural School High, because I truly believe that as we're working in high school programs, there are these wonderful perceptions and misperceptions in regards to how after-school programs should be run in high schools. And I found out that many of the stories were not necessarily as accurate as you'd like them to be, especially since it's still a brand new field. So if you look at the slides, oftentimes as we're building something, we don't know what it's going to look like. But oftentimes we know what we don't want it to look like. And as I started developing an after-school program 3 years ago at High Tech High, a couple of things that I felt was very important. That was, number one, it was not going to be a top-down program that was, you know, dictated by, No Child Left Behind. I didn't want to make it a middle school program where oftentimes we would actually have gadgets or things to pull the kids in. We try to do these wonderful bait and switch. You know, we have these wonderful mall cars. We have these wonderful remote control cars. We have Yu-Gi-Oh cards. We actually have things that we would actually give out to the kids to entice them, much like a pizza party. We didn't also want to be a program that focused on the test. It was not about the API or the AYP or the STAR testing, because I think that would definitely wouldn't be forthright in presenting a program to the kids. It was almost like, again, many years ago when we first started after-school programs, a place of disgrace. You're only going to the after-school program if you were struggling, if the school was struggling, and we wanted to be something much more. We did not want the program to be driven by the staff. That was for sure. And we didn't want it to be a mall program. I think oftentimes people get involved in after-school programs and say, we're going to be the model for the state of California. We're going to be the model for this city or this city. And that's, I don't think that's unrealistic, and it's unfair. There's this wonderful quote by one of my colleagues that said, when you've seen one high school program, you've seen one high school program. So they're all different in many capacities. Okay. As I move to the next slide, and it's not moving. It talks a little bit about what we feel is really important in regards to the foundation of after-school programs. And what we've come up with is an acronym I use, RICE. And that's where we say the program for the high school kids must be relevant. Relevant for them in their current situation, whether they're a freshman in high school or seniors about to graduate. We also wanted to say, is the program going to be interesting? And the key to that is, for how long? Oftentimes, our programs, especially in high school, have a shelf life. And we have to understand and look at the school calendar and realize this program, this activity would only probably work for a period of 2 weeks maximum, or something that can carry us throughout the semester. The C in the acronym stands for something that would be challenging, competitive, or allow the kids to be very creative. And last but not least, is it engaging? Are the kids doing something? Because what we've noticed in high school, there's a lot of clubs. And a lot of clubs, they would just meet. And they would meet. And the information and things that they would talk about would be innate. It would not go anywhere. It was just a place to socialize. And that's not what we wanted to have happen either. So, I kind of missed a slide. We wanted the program to be interest-driven. And we also wanted to be a hybrid of a couple things. In high school, there are already things that are already happening, you know, traditional sports, the clubs. But we also wanted to have new ways of thinking. Instead of it always being teacher-led, faculty-led, is there another way to go about it? Because what we've noticed as we were doing our surveys and as we were doing our focus groups, there are a lot of kids that had these needs, and they wanted those needs to be filled. This is what I want. How can you help me? And we had a lot of different of them. And instead of trying to sell the after-school program, oftentimes in after-school programs you try to brand. For example, in my high school program, we call ourselves CRASH. So kids can crash here after school. And we found out it's not necessarily about trying to sell the whole program, but just the components, the benefits of the program. If kids wanted SAT prep, that's what they get. And they didn't have to do the other stuff on the periphery to actually belong in the program. They didn't have to go to homework study. They didn't have to go 4 days out of the week or else they'd lose their spot. It was, again, sell the parts of the programs that kids wanted to go. So as we were moving and talking to different people, am I going too fast, folks? Are you guys okay?
No. We're good.
Okay, good. We came up with the Divine Nine. And if you look at the PowerPoint, we came up, and again, please forgive the very corny rhymes here, but we found out this directly from the students. We actually had focus groups the entire summer and even the semester before talking about after schools. And this is what we discovered by our research. Number one, the program would be cool when it's part of the school. If you were a provider agency, for example, we have somebody from the World Fit for Kids, fantastic, wonderful. But if you were not ingrained, if you were not entrenched, if you were not seamless with the school day, then you lost a lot of credibility because, you know, again, it was hard to get information out. So, again, not necessarily having to come from the school, but very much involved and married to the school. We also believe that more interested groups but less troops. In middle school programs, you can offer a class, for example, a hip-hop dance class, and you would have 30 to 40 kids sign up. And they would stay, you know, shelf life, we believe, is 4 to 6 weeks. What we've noticed is that we'd offer a dance program, but the kids were very specific on what they wanted. They wanted competitive dance. They wanted salsa dancing. There was 4 or 5 different types of dances that they wanted specifically to belong to. So, again, there were more groups, but there'd only be 5 to 10 in each of the groups. And we had to figure out, okay, we have these 5 splinters of dance, all wanting different types of instructors. How would we do that? Also, we believe that the students believe it would be great if the teachers just facilitate, especially for the upperclassmen. The upperclassmen, the juniors and seniors, wanted to take ownership. They wanted to lead and actually to do a lot of the heavy lifting. And that's you know, where the buy-in and the longevity actually came from the kids because, you know, force of will, they will make it happen. They also go to the lengths to make public our strength. They love to present. The culminating activity, the thing that happened at the end, we had to sell that. You were going to perform. You were going to get to take the SAT free. You were going to get a driver's permit. They wanted something so that they make that culminating activity. And they wanted to be, trust us, to go off campus. A lot of these kids did not want to stay at school. And a lot of them had opportunities based on ability to transport themselves or to go on public transportation where the classrooms could actually be the community. They believed in service. You know, they will come when service needs to be done. If you had a community service or a service learning project and you would specifically recruit for those kids, they would come. They also thought it was fine if they only showed up for a limited time. Oftentimes we believe that high school kids need to stay for the program and they have to have this certain amount of dosage. In high school programs, you have to be comfortable, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, for it to be one and done. If you have a guest speaker series around mathematicians, physics, engineering, and it's only 2 weeks, and the kids just want to show for those 2 weeks, after your speaking series is done, it's done. 2 weeks is fine. You have to go on to the next speaking series, the next power lunch, whatever you needed to do, but you also have to be fine that you're not necessarily going to get the dosage you would want for a prolonged period of time. And, again, we talked about immediate benefits, which I kind of jumped the gun on. You know, it's a hit when the kids, like I said, can say, I know how to use a keyboard now, I know how to type. I performed. I have a, I can take the SAT in November and have it waived. We also did things where certain schools, you would get your yearbook, if you're part of this program, half off. Or you get to go to the prom, instead of $60 for a prom ticket, you can get in now for $20 because you participated. There were these immediate benefits. So, another thing I talked about being part of the school, one practice that I truly, truly believe in is to have staff that also work at the school. But here is the caveat. It's not a staff member, for example. I don't want a cafeteria person that's involved in the school. Or maybe, let's use this. I don't want a attendance person at the school doing the after-school program as on the side as their second job. Because what happens, it's always about the core day. It's another thing added to the plate. What we found out was that when this person comes from the after-school program, which is their primary duty, which is taking attendance, and then also work at the attendance program, the program was much more successful. And that's true by visiting at least 40 sites. I've seen school staff take on after-school responsibilities, and they're tired, and they're not as motivated, and they're not as dialed in, as opposed to people that are hired by the after-school staff that receive additional hours from the school. So, again, making that part seamless, being part of the principal's cabinet, are ways I truly believe to strengthen your program. So, talking a little bit about the social groups, what we found about high school, the research that we did is that, the high school kids have more specialized interests, so there are going to be more groups, even though instead of groups of 30, we might have 5 groups of 6. It's very different from middle school programs. These 6 kids that may join the program will be there, and they will stick it out. They are not that fickle. Well, they'll change immediately. If they started something, for example, in one of my programs, we have 8 committed kids that are going to do the movie review class for independent films and for foreign films. And these kids are going to stick through it. Now, anybody can join, but we know these 6 kids will drive the program. Okay? And it's easy for these 6 kids actually to recruit. You know, they're responsible, if you want to run this activity or club, to recruit 2 more kids each. That's part of the deal for me to offer resources, monies for this particular class or activity, and that's where attendance is built. And we believe a critical mass of kids to start an activity or club after school is around 8 to 12 students. So, again, we definitely want to make it student-driven, and if you look at that slide, but I'm going to keep on moving on. I truly believe that this is a high school programs must be a strength-based program. Grant you, we have tutoring, we have credit recovery, all those things to support kids that are struggling academically. But we must also offer the enrichment, the activities they would not otherwise participate unless it was for this program. And so we always want to have the kids in Los Angeles. We have several thousand kids participating in the after-school leadership program based on the assets program, and we often do a showcase in Los Angeles at UCLA, and we had, I believe, 1,500 students that were participating from 20 different schools because they want to showcase their talents, and they want to see how far they can go with that. So we're looking at different opportunities with Denim Day, with Red Ribbon Week, with Do the Right Thing, these wonderful leadership opportunities, we transformed into an opportunity for kids to actually showcase their talents. So, moving along, we wanted to take the kids off campus because we believe that they're mature enough, they're mobile enough, they want to use the community as a classroom. Students can do the research on their own if they have a wonderful facilitator, an adult that could be responsible and informed. So a couple things, and again, looking at the slides, I think it's important that we have this mind frame. Oftentimes we say our kids are the future, and I believe the kids are not our future. They are our present. These kids, especially in high school, are more than capable of finding solutions. They are amazing that way. They can demonstrate their leadership. They're looking for an adult that can validate their passion, and then they'll let them run with their dreams. Again, we have anywhere from robotics classes here in my program to a graphic novel class that's being done as a service learning project, to a martial arts, mixed martial arts program after school where they learn the same workouts. They don't fight, but they, again, do the same workouts as many of these Ultimate Fighters. So I also believe in limited time in the program, that we have to be okay with kids wanting to do just one thing. And I'm not talking about the steroid events that oftentimes we fall ourselves, you know, where we say, we're going to have a dance, and we're going to have free pizza, and we get 400 kids coming to the program, and that helps our attendance. I think there's times for that, but I'm not a believer in that. I rather believe that, you know, we do something that's very meaningful. For example, if we have a college interview workshop or job interview workshop and resume building workshop, and it's only a one-day thing, I believe in those type of events where it's very meaningful and very intentional. And, again, it may be for that one day. I believe the kids want less seat time, and they want more of fulfilling their needs. And when I talk to young staff, I always say it's like the club mentality, where you go to a club and a singles club, and people are looking to meet somebody. Once you meet somebody, do you stay there and go on to meet other people? No, most people will leave. And I know it sounds very crass, but it resonates with a lot of people that I talk to. It's like you get what you want, you get the phoner, and then leave. And I think that's okay. We have to be okay with that. And we believe that the volume, the attendance is created when we cycle groups and groups and groups and groups. So it really comes down to the strength of character that your site coordinator has to develop different types of activities, to put them forth and to move a very dynamic calendar. So, you know, one of the things that I also wanted to talk about is that with this type of programming where you have short intervals, or when you look at a calendar, we call that burst programming. It's a burst of different activities throughout. It could be anywhere from one day to one semester. But you look at the calendar based on your school calendar, making sure that you don't run into major holidays, major events like prom, like SAT testing, like SAT testing. So it doesn't affect anything that's happening. And the last thing that I'll also say is, as I'm kind of talking a lot, is we believe in the ABCs with these students, especially the sophomores and up. The ABC stands for the Adult Benefit Compensation, okay? I think the kids want something much like what the adults get, much like a job, whether it obviously cannot be money at times. But I talked about a few of those things where I can get a recommendation letter. I can get more credits for graduation. It will help me secure a job or a trade. I'm doing something that has responsibility, so right now the status with my colleagues, with my peers, is much higher. They want some sort of benefit or compensation by being involved in the program. I'm going to get in better shape. I'm going to be in the best shape of my life. I will lose 10 pounds. I will get my grades up. Those are the things that these kids are savvy enough to understand. So a couple of practices that I really recommend. I recommend that let the kids come to you. You put it out there. They can create, market, recruit. And they actually, in my program, they hire the instructors. The HIPAP, they are involved with that. So they're actually sitting in on the interview, and we coach them on the questions they can and cannot ask. So they're involved in that. They're involved in creating a budget and submitting that budget and going through the appropriations to make sure they can get those supplies. They are required to do a timeline. How long, what's the shelf life of this program? Well, we just want to perform on the Christmas or holiday benefit in December, and then we'll revisit this. Okay, that's a two-month program. How many days out of the week will you meet? And will be times when you'll meet on the weekends. And the neat thing about this is that staff can formally train these students, and that's where that leadership is going. So we've grown now in our program where we actually have to compartmentalize the program, where we have to say there's an academic college strand, there's a physical education sports strand, career strand, leadership civic engagement strand, and then there's these interests, these little gaps that every now and then kids come up with great ideas. And we use our staff to help facilitate that. Not necessarily teach, but facilitate that. So here is the truth I truly believe when it comes to high school programs. In high schools, the programs have evolved where school staff become after-school brokers, where we actually allow the kids to come up with the ideas, and then we set them up with the right people and let them help lead that activity for the sake of attendance and for the sake of having that program last a long time. A volume of interest groups force the program to align the maturity and students and the willingness of volunteers. In other words, this only can work, again, if there are interested groups and volumes of them. We also believe that sometimes we want to charge a nominal fee. And oftentimes what I've noticed, especially in Title I schools and schools with a lot of free and reduced lunch kids, sometimes these kids feel like they're entitled. I'm supposed to get this. And it gives them the opportunity sometimes to, well, I didn't pay for anything, so I can leave. We ask for a nominal fee, a commitment fee, if you will, that they will get back in some capacity, whether it's the $5 or $10 to get back, or it pays for this shirt that they're going to get. But we don't want kids to have an opportunity to join something and to quit without a sense of they lost out on something. And the last thing is that, the higher expectations. So as I'm moving forward, I suggest that, don't look at my experience as the whole. My experience is much different than all of yours. I always say focus on what you don't want your program to look like and go there when you're starting out. Identifying the needs, what the kids are interested in. And then using projects, we found that project-based learning is a great way to show the content and to give them adult world experiences. There are no moral programs, folks. One definition of a model is, again, an inefficient or unrealistic replica that has no use. And sometimes we use that because your experience is going to be much different than mine. And that the participants, and you hear it all the time, the participants are the key, but you have to understand how do you use participants. I'm not a big fan of written surveys. You have to get, like anything else, you got to get the field focus groups, looking at specific targets. Those will help you generate the activities and market those activities to get people in. Now, you've noticed that I didn't talk a whole lot about marketing, because I truly believe word of mouth, steady and sure, is the best way to go. When it comes to high school program, you want a little sizzle but more steak. The quality of your program will dictate if the kids will stay in your program. You will have a program if you have these wonderful posters and wonderful websites. You can do all that. But the kids can smell a poser a mile away. They can go and see, like, you got a lot of flash but not a whole lot of substance. And that will, again, is something that I truly market just enough to get interest in, and word of mouth will sell your program. Questions, thoughts, anything?
Well, I want to thank you, Ray, for that presentation. That was very thought provoking, and I definitely heard a lot there. And I want to now open it up, folks, that if you did have questions or thoughts, that you can press *6 in order to unmute your line, and feel free to ask those questions. I know that I certainly heard a lot there and have a lot of my own questions, but I want to hear from the group if they had any questions, thoughts.
Is anybody still there?
Still here, Ray.
Remembering that you have to press star 6 to unmute your line so that we can't hear. I know, Ray, that, you know, one of the things that I really heard was that the marketing for your program is the quality of the program itself, and that you know, that the programs that you're looking to create that are going to create that sort of self-marketing are things that are based on youth interest, you know, have a youth leadership component, a drop-in type program, you know, all sorts of different things. I'm wondering what types of off-campus activities that you did with your youth and sort of how you were able to accomplish that.
Well, absolutely. And a couple things I do want to respond to that point. Yeah, when it comes to the marketing of the program, if it's truly student-driven, we ask the kids, then you are required to bring additional students. We can put the, like I said, posters, and we have done those, and they are effective in some capacity. But the kids that normally stick in regards to staying with the activity are the kids that students themselves recruit. That's why we feel like if there is an interest, 8 to 12 kids, that's a critical mass. Then I can say bring another friend or bring two friends. And that's where you'll see the program just flourish and the numbers remain high. The stuff that we do off campus, I mean, I'm very fortunate that we do have some resources. But I think one of the draws to an after-school program is the ability to go off campus, especially with these high school kids. With our civic engagement programs, they have an opportunity to perform in front of groups, opportunity to do a play, a drama play in front of elementary students, an opportunity to visit an aquarium, the Birch Aquarium, or to visit the engineering department of Petco Park to understand, again, you know, their service learning project or their engineering project. Those are the type of things that we really want to draw. And that's kind of like the hook. That's the enticement. And it's not a huge one, but it shows them, again, that we are not your typical middle school program where we meet Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays and do those things. So some other off-campus things that we have done, we talk a lot about in our High Tech High site. We've done in the past is actually paintball. I know it sounds, again, in light of recent events happening in schools, is that something you want to promote? So, again, we did that for a select number of kids off campus where they actually would go to a paintball field. But prior to going to that paintball field, they talked about, again, famous battles from the Civil War to World War II and, the historical significance of that. So we tried to entwine the content of the school outside of the classroom. Those are things that we really, try to be creative with.
Excellent. Are there other questions for our speaker? Sounds like some.
Hey, this is Deb.
Yes, Deb.
I thought one of the coolest things that you did at High Tech High Chula Vista prior to the start of school was to have your students propose different kinds of activities.
Yes.
You want to explain that just a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we wanted to do is take the opportunity during out-of-school time in the summer to provide a bridge program for these kids focused on the project of after school. So we brought in all these wonderful 8th graders, soon to be 9th graders, knowing full well that these kids would be probably our biggest customers. In high school, the biggest customers, as you know, are the 9th and 10th graders. So to get them hooked into after school and understanding the benefits of after school, their project was to work in groups of 4 or 5, and we had 90 kids show up to this program, to design, research, and market their after school program, and do a presentation in front of their parents as well as other dignitaries. And Deb happened to be one of our dignitaries that showed up. And some of the activities were general, and like we knew that was going to happen. But some of them were just absolutely fantastic, and some of them we were implementing right away, like our independent films program, like our youth sports program, But these kids presented, working on, again, their presentation skills, defining, again, the cost of what it would take to run a program. And here's the kicker. Outlining the academic, again, significance of doing this. What is the content that will be involved if you do a street luge course, you know? And they talked about, well, we talk about velocity, momentum, a drag, all those friction, all those things that come into play. Now, we did not run the street luge programs, but again, the fact that they were thinking about it and thinking out of the box allowed other kids to say, well, why don't we do soap car racing? And we've done stuff like that. So, again, a wonderful way to get people thinking about after-school programs, promoting after-school programs, and at the same time making sure you have your customers because they have taken ownership of the program.
Thank you.
Thanks, Deb.
Ray, I was interested. You know, one of the things that really spoke to me was that you're going to really get a lot of youth to participate for, you know, a certain amount of time if you have that culminating activity
right.
that they're working towards. And I know that, you know, certainly being product-focused and being able to see the benefit is something that certainly speaks to me. I'm wondering if you might speak to a couple of those culminating activities that have worked in your programs.
Yes. Two of our more successful classes, because I think, and I always bring these two up because they're so high in academic content, and they're a lot of fun, is we have a graphic novel creation product where kids actually build this production, a comic book company, where they have artists, story writers, researchers, and they talk about a significant issue. Last year they created a comic book focused on the plight and violence and, the hardships that are happening down in Mexico and Tijuana. They have a lot of kids by the border here, and they talked a lot about that. It was actually done in Spanish and English. But what they did was they created this comic book where they actually had to research, again, a lot of the things that were happening down in Tijuana. They had to translate it. They had to create it. And then they actually published this comic book and then showcased it at the internationally known San Diego Comic-Con. And that's the coming in activity. Was not only did you publish a comic book of high quality, it looks like any comic book you'd go to any drugstore, but it also was allowed them to go ahead and showcase to other artists, other writers, and to do that. And our other program that we did was our robotics program, where their first year they competed. The culminating activity was they were going to compete in a local level, which they won, and then in a national level where they traveled and fundraised to go to Dallas with the help of the after-school program. Again, two culminating activities, and we really sold the benefits. It wasn't the class that we necessarily sold in the beginning. It's the benefits. You're going to create a comic book. That will be yours. You will compete and travel. That will be yours.
I like that you're actually marketing the immediate benefit, and then the process actually, you know, especially taking into account that comic book project takes in current events, language and literacy, art, you know, publishing, and, you know, getting them involved in a field where they're meeting other people within that field, so it could even have career implications, but all the while they're sort of focusing on that, I get to create something.
Absolutely. You hit it right on the head.
You know, part of the goal of this call also, and as we start to do more of these calls, is we really want to allow practitioners the opportunity to share not only some of the good things that they're doing in their own communities and programs, but also some of the challenges that they're facing so that folks can maybe offer some ideas of resources and ideas of different solutions to certain challenges. And I'm wondering if anybody on the line currently has some challenge working with in terms of recruiting with their program, with their high school program, that they'd like to point out and let our speaker or anybody on the call speak. speak to. Is there anybody that is having some challenges with recruitment?
Yeah. How do you unmute?
I think I hear somebody trying to unmute their line, and just to press star 6 again is the way to unmute or mute your line. So if you're speaking and we can't hear you, go ahead and press star 6. And still not hearing anybody come through. What about any practices that are working in programs that are out there from people on the line? If somebody has some particularly successful practices that they've done in terms of increasing their program quality to market to youth or with recruitment.
You know, and I think a lot of it he's already said. This is Judy from San Juan Unified School District. And I think, again, it's looking to see what the kids' interests are and then setting up activities that kind of go along with those. You know, like we had kids that were interested in anime, and so, you know, we were able to start, like, an anime club, you know, and things like that. So I think it's definitely, you know, trying to figure out what the kids want, you know, and then trying to have opportunities for them to develop their clubs.
I think one of the things that has been very helpful for me in regards to finding out what kids really want is we do have an open door policy where in my office, if a kid actually has an idea, they can write, it's a very simple proposal, they just come in and they will speak to me literally for like 3 minutes and about their activity. And then I will then forward that to our after-school coordinator, and they will figure out logistics. But I think one of the neat things about that is if they take it to somebody that's an administrator at the school, they feel like it's something's going to be done about it. And I'm very quite honest with them when they ask certain things, and I don't think that's, you know, feasible, or I have them go through and rethink that over again. But having a place where they can actually turn that in or speak to somebody with the open door policy has been very, very successful.
Ray, you know, I heard that you sort of divide now your activities between academic, and you mentioned things like SAT prep you know, helping to increase academics, physical, such as like a mixed martial arts training. You also mentioned a number of other things, but I'm wondering what you've done in your programs or what you've seen that really helped to create that career development or career readiness within your programs.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that I'm a huge fan of is we actually have power nights with the kids again. And again, these are the one and done type of things where we can bring anyone in from, again, I heard anime, somebody that works in anime or in comics or engineers or in the career fields, and actually have them come in and do a part. It's open to anybody, you know. We bring a sack lunch, we'll have some snacks, and they can actually ask questions. It's more of an intimate group. But again, we do that, and then we allow, we work with those agencies to open up an internship opportunity for them. In my school right now, we're a brand new school. We only have 9th, 10th, and 11th graders. Our 11th graders in the second semester will start going to internships as part of their school and after-school program. So we're working that out. So what we're trying to do right now is to bring in these wonderful people that have, you know, obviously what's hot right now are people that are involved, for example, in creating games, computer games, technology is hot. Again, those type of exciting careers in the entertainment industry is very hot. And we try to bring those in and I'll try to find opportunities for internships where they will actually immerse with these people and these organizations or these places of business, of industry, for a period of 2 weeks. So, again, those are things that are in the works that we're actually doing now that really is very meaningful. It's very authentic and having that type of audience.
I like that, bringing in the community, but also developing that sort of interest level.
Yeah, and this is going to sound really weird, but it's actually been very successful. We have Power Nights for parents, and as part of our part of our 21st century requirement, we're supposed to have these literacy nights. So we've had Power Nights the after school sponsors, where we bring parents in, and we talk about getting your kids. We bring speakers from colleges, from businesses, and it's always to us about getting our kids into college. So these once a month things that help out with literacy and getting kids focused and dialed in about college have been very successful. I mean, the parents come in for that.
I'm wondering, are there any folks on the line that have been using music lessons, music recording, or any sort of film or digital media projects within their program, and what sort of success they've seen in terms of recruitment with those types of activities?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, this is Christine Broughton from Red Bluff High School.
Hi, Christine.
We have an assets program, and we currently have a guitar class after school where kids can come in at any level, you know, all the way from beginning to, advanced guitar players, and they can come in and they can get guitar lessons, or they can just play music with other students. And we've had a lot of consistency with that activity.
Outstanding.
And then, another good component of having that guitar class is actually a lot of the students that are in the guitar, they also need tutoring in math and English. And it works really well to kind of leverage their guitar activity, you know, by saying, okay, well, you can come in and do guitar, but then when you're done, we want you to come back in here and get your homework done. And it's been a really good cooperation between the students and the school and the parents by showing, you know, that they're staying for guitar, but they're also getting homework assistance as well.
Absolutely. I think that's what the neat thing about that. You can actually leverage all the enrichment with opportunities for academic support. And while you're here anyway, you know, you might as well get your, we have some tutors and academic coaches before the guitar class, after the guitar class, we have teachers, and that's the one thing that we have to have daily, that we have people willing and ready to offer support before and after these enrichment programs, and during as well, obviously. I do have one conundrum that I am trying to deal with. Maybe you folks can, again, when it comes to the musical recording, the beats, and all those wonderful things that when it comes to sound production and music, the software, unless you get a license, it's impossible to get a meaningful group of kids, 15, that I'd like 15 to 20, because to get the software for some of these electronic programs is so very expensive, and I don't know if the return on that investment is something that I want to do, if something that warrants, you know, $5,000. Is anybody doing a musical program right now that is successful?
I'm hearing a couple of voices attempting to come through. Wondering if we could, just reminding that *6 will unmute your line if you're trying to speak right now.
I think that we have, hello?
Hello.
My name is Amy, and we have an assets program in the Sacramento area. I think we have a similar challenge, not necessarily with digital media, but, you know, we'll have, this is kind of related, we'll have groups of students who, and they're typically like freshmen, sophomore, who come into our program, and they come and they want to hang out with their friends, and so we try to direct them towards some of our skill building or our enrichment programs. And so they'll, you know, we do focus groups and we get their interest and they'll tell us a program they want to do. And then when we offer it, they're not interested in it anymore. And so I think we have a similar kind of, I'd say, challenge where students tell us they're interested in something. And then if we purchase the supplies or the resources for it, and then the day comes around, they're no longer interested in it. So I think that we do have that challenge in a similar way.
Right. Yeah, that's a tough one, and that's a heartbreaker at times, and it really affects morale because the investment has already been made, and we've experienced it as well. There was a huge call. This is going to sound funny. A huge call from badminton. You know, there was 12 kids asked for it, and we thought, let's do this, and it died quickly. It died a horrible death. Here, and we thought that was, one of the CIF sports that we could look into, but for whatever reason, we made this investment, and the kids that wanted it said, no, I think we're going to play basketball, or we're going to do something different, and, it just really hurts. Now the equipment is obviously collecting dust.
Right. I think, we had, we're in our second year of our program, and we're having a great deal of success rallying small groups of students into our program, a small group of students who are interested in anime, bringing them into after school. But we do struggle. It's an ongoing challenge with our students who don't necessarily have a passion or an interest. You know, our hope is to direct them toward an enrichment activity, and we're up against a lot of challenges with getting those students involved in enrichment.
Well, absolutely, and even the most skilled facilitator doing a focus group is hard to pull what the kids, especially in small groups, what they really want. That's a tough call. Oftentimes, some of the strategies what we've used is we look at the students that other kids gravitate to, and we kind of pull them in. And we know that we can't always bring in the Jay-Z's or the Beyoncé's or the other spokespeople that of high fame, but we can pull these kids that have juice in their school, and to see them if we can find out if they would be involved in the program, if they have an interest that they can bring other kids into, or if anything else, and this has worked as well, if they would speak highly of the program. If you have one kid speaking that again is very influential and speaking poorly of your activity or program, that will affect kids, especially the 9th and 10th graders who are our biggest customers. But if you have someone that speaks highly of it, now that's kind of cool. I was watching your workout class. I can't stay after school because I had other commitments, but I noticed that, you get a pretty good workout. You get you work up a pretty good lather. That went far for me for one of our classes. For again, we come up with these weird Club 300, the movie 300. If you want to get a body like those guys, they worked out with the cowbells, and they did wonderful ab work. Well, again, we promoted with some of the kids that were in pretty good shape, and we had them speak highly of the program. They showed up one or two days, but now we have a consistent group of kids around 12 in the morning as part of our morning program. So it works, too, if you get other kids to speak highly of the program.
Great. So it sounds like, a lot of what I've heard today is that it really comes down to the quality of the program and finding which ways to assess youth interest so that they can lead the own program, they can facilitate the recruitment efforts, and that the staff are there just to present the opportunities, inform youth of new opportunities. If they want to move on it, then move on it. And I've heard that having a drop-in type program with multiple small clubs that are based on youth interest is really important, that you got to sort of strike while the iron's hot, that when an activity is relevant, that you should offer it, and when it's not relevant anymore, then not offer it. But it seems like really the culture of the program, in terms of those strengths, culminating activities, immediate benefits like reduced prom ticket, reduced yearbook costs, but that it's that it and also alignment with the school day, but that it's really what it comes down to is it's that you're marketing that program that's not remedial,
right?
So that people feel okay to to go there, and that you market it like it's more of a drop-in style program with different clubs and activities. And I like what you said, Ray, about crash. So you can just come on in and crash what's happening in the after-school program. Just kind of creating that sort of mood and culture around what the after-school program is. I think that's a lot of what I heard today. I want to let folks know that we have a half an hour left on the call that we can use. But I wanted to open it up, really, that if folks really came on the call with a burning question issue that they wanted to ask, I really wanted to open it up at this point in time, because I definitely don't want to keep us all on the line for until 11:30 if we're sort of naturally reaching a transition time. So I did want to open it up at this point in time. Any other questions, observations, things that were heard, challenges that you're facing, really promising practices that you've done that you feel like others on the call may benefit from, please, at this time, feel free. Going once.
I don't know if I can speak to the success of it, but I know something that we're about to kick off pretty soon. We're seeing a challenge in our program is that we have a fast food restaurant across the street from our high school, and we lose a lot of students every day who are walking across the street, and they don't walk into our program because they want to go across the street with their friends. And so in the next week or two, we're looking to kick off like a snack bar in our program and have hot food kids can buy with like token economy dollars they earn through our program. So we're really excited about helping meet our obstacle of losing students to Carl's Jr. with hot food in our program.
What a great idea. That's amazing. I'm going to steal that. That's great. We have an In-N-Out Burger across the street that we're losing to.
Yeah. I can't speak to the success yet, but we're going to kick it off in the next week or two.
No, I think that's an amazing idea. Thank you so much.
Encouraging you to be more healthy at the same time, which is always a good thing. Any other thoughts, successes, challenges?
If I can just say one last thing, Jeff, is that when you start your program, one of the key tools that you will need, I truly believe, is look at your school calendar and plan accordingly. The gaps that oftentimes happen in school, especially if you're year-round, multi-track, sometimes throw your activities for a loop. When things are happening, especially near the end of the school year, if you're looking at testing, dances, events, holidays, based on those things, on what kids need, they will come. If you offer something around Valentine's Day where they can get something of value that they can give to their loved one, they will show up. Around the holidays, ways to earn a product or merchandise, they will show up. I know it sounds like a crass thing, but again, something that they can earn. But looking at the calendar will help dictate what the activities that you will offer.
Excellent. Thank you. And Ray, I want to thank you. I know that, running the after-school program, being the dean of a new school and with all the demands that are on you, I really want to thank you for making the time to share what you've learned with the after-school field. I want to let everybody know that this will be recorded and placed on the after-school network website so that folks can benefit from this over time, and that the second Wednesday of every month we'll be having high school telephone workshops. You can learn more about the subject matter of each one of those workshops on the after-school network website. But once again, thank you very much, Ray Trinidad, and everyone, keep up the good work out there, huh?
Thank you so much, Jeff. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.